Now the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio. And joining me here is Chris Mooney, who's the director of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois. Chris, thanks very much for joining me.
Hey, my pleasure, Rick. If I wasn't here, I'd be listening like everybody else.
Well, so. I appreciate that very much. I wanted to play a cut. Something that Michael Gold and I talked about last hour about how Trump kind of feeds off the energy of his audiences. Mm-hmm. And that kind of is what continues his style of rhetoric. And this is actually Donald Trump in Davenport, Iowa, reacting to the DNC speeches, the Democratic Convention speeches, including, he doesn't use it by name, but he's talking about former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who he terms as little. But this is Donald Trump.
I wanted to hit a couple of those speakers so hard, I would have hit them. No. I was going to hit them, so I was all set. And then I got a call from a highly respected governor. How's it going, Donald? I said, well, it's going good, but they're really saying bad things about me. I'm going to hit them so hard. I was going to hit one guy in particular, a very little guy. I was going to hit this guy so hard, his head would spin. He wouldn't know what the hell happened.
And that's Donald Trump from Davenport, Iowa rally out in the Quad Cities. That is part of the campaign, an essential part of the campaign to kind of incite his supporters.
Well, you know, I thought a lot about this, like most people have. His candidacy is so unusual. And the one thing that it sort of reminds me of is we were just talking about the Jay Giles Band. Okay, Jay Giles Band, rock blues band from Boston in the 70s. And a rock band off, you know, that's what he kind of seems like to me. He's feeding off the audience. He'll give them whatever they want, whatever I don't know that he's thinking. But if he catches, if he gets a response, he'll follow up. But maybe you think of more like jazz. It's call and response with the audience, you know. And I'm often wondering if he really, you know, thinks about the particular thing he's saying other than he's getting a response out of these people. And he's really good at it, you know. There's another thing you might think of as sort of a preacher, right? He's saying something, he hears people getting into it, so he goes back with it. And so, yeah, he enjoys the repartee with the audience. And, you know, who wouldn't? Everybody's cheering. It's great. I'm a great, you know, they're yelling. They're saying how great you are.
Well, and politicians have big egos, and this feeds the ego. I've got a text that it says, Rick, your discussions about Trump fall flat. Most voters are not interested in the day-to-day exchanges about him, as well as the press analysis. If Trump is tied with Clinton in September, expect a Trump landslide. What do you think?
Well, this guy's probably smarter than I am. I have no idea what's going to happen. This is, I gave up predicting what was going to happen in this election a long time ago.
Do you think people don't care about these, like, for example, this latest flap with the Khan family and the parents of a mm-hmm. slain U.S. Army officer in Iraq, a Muslim American? And Trump kind of just doubling down on this.
Yeah, you know, most Americans, in general, Americans don't care much about politics. In general, people don't care much about politics, right? And you know, this one I think people are potentially paying a little bit more attention to because, you know, Donald Trump brings in this sort of reality show factor. It's, you know, it's entertaining. Now we've got a head-to-head set up, and it's going to get pretty intense over the next few months. But what matters is not necessarily the individual people, the voters that are watching from time to time. It's two sets of people who are paying attention. Number one is you guys, the media. You'll pay attention. You'll find out what seems to be the telling issues, and then report that and kind of condense down the hours and hours of stuff to the key issue or the key points that are being made. But also the other side. And probably listeners have seen what I think is a pretty effective commercial by the Clinton campaign already, where she basically just play. They just play that. Let's go to tape and see what he says. And it's just, you know, when, you know, little pieces here and there, you add them all up and you put them together in 30 seconds. Pretty powerful.
But his supporters stay. I mean, he doesn't lose any support. And as we've seen throughout, you know, since June of a year ago, when you think he says something that, you know, that's it, that's it. It doesn't, there is no kind of carryover.
Yeah, that's true. You know, he seems like the Teflon candidate. And, but, you know, again, we don't know what's going to happen going forward because this is completely, you know, it's uncharted territory. There's really not had a candidate like this before. We've not had a candidate, in a sense, like Hillary before. I mean, especially, you know, her background, the fact that she's a woman, the fact that she was first lady, the fact that, you know, she's had all these offices and been so well known for, you know, 25 plus years. So we've got, you know, we don't know what's going to happen right now. And you know, maybe little pieces won't affect, you know, people hear a little thing here and there. But the accumulation of the stuff that he says might have an impact. Or,
oh, well, the same with her, the accumulation of her background.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, if, you know, if even more stuff comes out about her emails or more hacking or whatever. I mean, it just one day, you know, it's fantastic. It's kind of like the Cubs this year. Every day is something new. It's always interesting to watch because, you know, it's not boring. Okay, it's not boring.
It's not boring. That's for sure. We've got a call from Ron. Ron, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Yeah. Good morning, Rick. Just a moody question for you regarding just political messages. Donald Trump appears to be capturing some of the cynicism relative to politics. So my question is, and also from Hillary Clinton running from a party that's within power, how is she really going to be able to sell people on optimism and hope, you know, like President Obama? But I really think, in particularly in those Rust Belt states, that it really be critical that Donald Trump's message, because for some reason, this negative message, and he's holding on to it. That's my thing, the contrasting of the messages. And I just think it's going to be really a challenge for her, particularly with her very low approval rating to sell people on the message of hope and change. So that's it. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Ron. You know, whenever you're the party of the incumbent, especially if it's been for two terms, you really have, you know, you're sort of backup is up against it, and it's difficult to get to win that third term for a party. The only time that's really happened since World War II is Truman did it in 48, but aside from that, would be George Bush, and so it's very difficult to do, especially with a candidate like Hillary, who's been around a long time. She's not exciting. I mean, that was the thing about Obama. One of the things that was in his favor was, here's this new fresh face. He's great orator. He's got this soaring rhetoric that really was inspirational. Hillary doesn't have that stuff.
Well, and he was kind of still much an outsider.
Definitely
an
outsider
on the national level.
And you could, and he didn't have this record that you could really, you know, pin him with. He could define himself. Hillary has a hard time defining herself because, you know, we all know who she is, just like we all know who Donald Trump is. Even though I think Donald Trump is showing us some sides of him that we didn't necessarily know about before.
No, that's well. This thing is just, I mean, you don't know which way it's going to go.
Absolutely. I think it's really going to be, it might be a blowout either way, or it might come down to the wire. It might be one of these things where, you know, we go into December and the Supreme, who knows? I mean, it could be anything.
We're speaking with Chris Mooney. He's the director of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Good Sunday morning, 8:48 on this Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio, along with Chris Mooney, Director of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois. This is your Sunday Spin. And Chris, I had to tell you, I kind of had that bit of a flashback moment. I was in Iowa in 2004 for the Iowa caucuses, and watching Howard Dean now, you know, at the Democratic National Convention, kind of doing his reprise of the of primary night in Iowa from 2004.
This race is going to be won on the ground, and it's going to be won in Colorado and in Iowa and North Carolina and Michigan and Florida and Pennsylvania, and then we're going to the White House.
Except he missed the yeah.
Yeah, no screaming. You know, that was a sound that probably no human voice could actually make, I believe.
And you know the great story behind that is anybody that was in the gymnasium where he did that didn't hear it. Didn't
really
hear the screech. But it was the way it came
picked
across
up
the
on
microphones.
The mic. I see.
Yes.
The magic of electronic voice.
Well, before we went to break, we were talking about how who knows how this thing is going to shape up. And one of the things that I've kind of thought about is, you know, God help us, we have some kind of a incident like occurred in Nice, France, like a week before the election. I mean, God help that it would ever occur anyway.
Yeah.
But if something like that happened on U.S. soil, that, you know, while we have some fears now about terrorism, domestic and from abroad, but that kind of issue would give Trump the election.
Well, you know, in a normal year, that's true. Republicans typically poll better on national security issues, and Democrats typically poll better on bread and butter issues. But again, this year, who knows? And I think it might have something to do with the reaction. I mean, because you can make an argument the other way, the idea that Trump is a, you know, he's a wild card, doesn't really know what's going on and never had any experience, where you've got Hillary, who is the steady hand as she's trying to portray herself. And I think, as in all these things, especially with Trump, we have to see how he reacts. And, you know, what does he do? Does he go off the beam, or does he, you know, get serious? That might have as much to do with it as just the fact of having some kind of a terrible tragedy.
But the rhetoric, though, that we've heard from him so far, and even in response to Khazer Khan's speech to the DNC, was that, as he told George Stephanopoulos, was, well, but it's the issue of Islamic terrorism, and it's a growing problem, and it keeps happening, and we have to do something about it. Now, you know, whether it's as Trump wants to do, as others have called for at least some kind of suspension of refugees from Syria, or Trump ban Muslims from coming in, whatever. I mean, there definitely is a fear card to be played.
Oh, yeah. And he's definitely playing it. I think Clinton is working out on the other side again with the sort of steady hand argument. And to some extent, the October surprise, so to speak, that came from, if it comes from the world, again, some terrorist attack, say, I think part of it depends on when exactly it happens. If it happens 2-3 days before the election, that will probably favor Trump more than Clinton.
Yeah, I can almost see like a 9/11 type unity. But unity, we got to go get somebody.
Exactly. And usually that's kind of how it happens. I mean, immediately, you know, we circle the wagons, rally around the flag. And then as time goes on, different approaches can be expressed and people can think about it in different ways. And sometimes it's still rally around the flag. Look at 9/11. We went on and we passed the Patriot Act and we went and we invaded Iraq. It had nothing to do with the 9/11 and all that. But that depends on leadership and you know, who's driving the boat.
So when you look at coming out of the Democratic National Convention and, you know, you have Hillary, the known quantity, but you have some of these Bernie or bust people that are pretty much, they're never Hillary. But do they get into the game or do they sit out? Is it going to be something like, you know, there was talk of that on the Republican side, too, if you're a never Trump person, do you just sit there, and because, you know, we know what the options are on both sides, and yeah, they're not exactly popular options.
Right, and actually, that's to my way of thinking, and I think most of the research on this bears this out, is that that's really the key question is not whose mind is going to get changed, because not many people's minds are going to get changed. There's not that many independents, there's not many people in the middle. It's who votes, right? And most elections are about that anyway. Who gets the votes out? Who gets their vote out? Right. Who gets people to the polls on that day, or as it is now, mails them in or gets down the month before, whatever it takes. And that's where the campaigns know this, and that's why there's going to be a lot of negativity, because that's how you sort of drive down. You know, Ted Cruz, is he going to vote for Hillary Clinton? I doubt it. The question is, would he be inspired to vote for Trump or just stay home? And Ted Cruz and his supporters. And I would suspect that there's a lot more evangelical Ted Cruz type people in the Republican Party than there are diehard Bernie fans in the Democratic Party. And I don't know that for sure, but that's my suspicion. And so the question is, how many of those people on either side, and it's really not just the Ted Cruz wing, it's not the right, you know, the sort of evangelical right. It's, you know, it's the moderate Republicans, the six of them that are left, and my,
John Kasich.
Well, Kasich, yeah, he didn't want to come to Bloomberg. You know, these people. So there's a question with them too. I would think in that respect, Clinton has the advantage, because I don't think that there, again, I'm just speculating here, but I don't think there's as many people in the Democratic Party who think that she's as dangerous as some people in the Republican Party think about Trump.
Well, and the other thing, too, with Cruz having given his famed speech in Cleveland, vote your conscience, whatever— But clearly, that was Trump's letting him have that platform was a way that, you know, Trump calculated would unify people to Donald Trump. But at the same time, it was an open invitation to the fact that he's going to run again, and Cruz is going to run again in 4 years.
Oh well, yeah, there's no doubt he's already running, this is sort of a bet on his part that either Trump loses badly and then he can pick up the pieces, or Trump wins and does badly, and then he can pick up the pieces. Now, if Trump gets elected and becomes, you know, the next Ronald Reagan, and everybody loves him, it's peace and prosperity, and he gets reelected.
It's morning in America.
Yes, it may be, you know, whatever time it is now in America. And, but it was actually probably a smart idea on his part to put Cruz up there, even though Cruz is he's a calculating and ambitious politician, but that doesn't really, I don't know, it might be redundant.
That's an understatement. but as I talked to Michael Golden earlier, too, about the issue of, you know, when you see conventions end, it's all supposed to be the kumbaya moment and, you know, go back home and you're going to work the grassroots and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And again, this is such an unusual year that I don't know that you're going to see it. There isn't the fervor there that you normally have because of the divisions that exist in both parties.
Yeah, and certainly Clinton doesn't generate a lot of fervor. But, you know, sometimes...
Or Tim Kaine.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, the vice presidential pick, that's interesting for about 20 minutes, and then you know, they can
do... It's a great convention story.
Yeah, right, and it's sort of like the Hippocratic Oath, right? First, do no harm, right. And if that is okay, then I think both candidates picked somebody that wasn't going to do them any harm necessarily, although Trump probably missed an opportunity to reach out to others. He reached out to the base... with Pence, and as opposed to reaching out beyond the base. And maybe that was a smart thing to do. I don't know.
Well, it might be a reflection, too, of you had an uncertain base with him.
Yes.
Trump has his own base, but for the Republican Party, mm-hmm. that's not exactly an intersection here
right.
that Pence kind of creates.
Yeah.
Chris Mooney, Director of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois, thank you so much for getting up with me this morning, as always, and appreciate the work that the Institute does and your colleagues there as well, and always welcome to have a seat here on the Sunday Spin.
Great. Thanks a lot, Rick.
We'll be back with more right after this.